If you're in southern Australia this morning, as you rug up in your woolly jumper or your down jacket and put on a beanie, gloves and a scarf, this might seem, well, a bit odd. The world's just recorded its hottest June on record because of the heat wave that hit Europe. That's according to the European Centre for Medium Range Weather Forecast. So, what should we make of it? I was joined a short time ago by Emeritus Professor Will Steffen from the ANU, who's also a counsellor with the Climate Council of Australia. Will Steffen, thanks for joining AM.
My pleasure.
Europe's just had its hottest June on record. Anchorage in Alaska has just recorded 32 degrees Celsius, which is a record for Anchorage. Are they interesting one-offs or is it something else?
Definitely not one-offs. This is part of a longer-term trend that's going on for decades. It's getting worse, 32 degrees in Alaska, exceptional heat in France. The underlying reason, of course, is we're continuing to pour greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. They trap heat near the Earth's surface, and they simply stack the odds for more intense heat, longer heat waves, and more frequent heat waves. That's exactly what we see.
Why has this European heat wave had an impact on the world's temperature?
Because the world's temperature is an average. So the Alaskan temperature has an effect on it as well. So we average over the surface of the ocean and the surface of the land and get a single number. So when it heats up over large areas, say in Europe or Asia or Australia, that actually adds to the global heat total.
Now, you just mentioned too that Australia had its hottest ever summer on record last season.
Yes.
We've also seen some pretty staggering rainfall in Queensland this year as well. How do you distinguish between weather and a trend?
Okay, weather is what happens sort of day to day. It's what you expect. But to get a long-term trend, you have to average weather over, in our view, at least three decades. It's better if you have even more. So when you see, for example, extreme rainfall, like we saw in North Queensland, and when you look at what's happening the past three or four decades, that's actually on the increase. And there's a good reason for that. The warmer the atmosphere gets, the more water vapor it can hold. So that simply stacks the odds for these very heavy rainfall events.
And what should Australians prepare for as, you know, spring and summer approach this year?
Well, the odds are we're going to get more extreme heat. Whether we get record-breaking heat, it depends on how things play out. But there's no doubt that it's going to be much warmer than the long-term average, the average over the past 100 years or so.
There's a popular position amongst politicians that Australia's carbon footprint is so small that anything that we do on renewables or carbon regulation is just tokenism. How do you counter that?
It's absolutely not true. For example, we've sit in either 15th or 16th out of 195 countries, so we're in the top 20. When you add in the exports, like the coal and the gas that we export, we would rank number 5 in the world. We are a very, very big player globally. The second point I would make is this is a classic collective action problem. For example, the income tax I pay to the ATO is tiny. And if I use the Australian government's argument, I could write to the ATO and say, I'm not going to pay my income tax anymore because it is so small compared to the Australian government revenue. So we must understand that this problem is really made up of millions of emissions from around the world, and we all need to do our part proportionally.
Coal is often central to the environment concerns here. What do you say to the argument that if we stopped exporting high-quality coal from here, it would just be replaced by low-quality, high-emissions coal from somewhere else?
No, that's not at all for certain. In fact, other countries are getting their emissions down too, and there's a big interest in other countries not to go into coal of any type because of the pollutants associated, particularly dirty coal. So the trend are, even in developing countries, to go directly to renewables.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the world's ability to tackle climate change and keep it the temperature rise to 2 degrees?
Well, the short answer is it depends on whether I've had my cup of coffee yet in the morning. But to be a little bit more serious about it, I oscillate. I think that there are a lot of good trends. I mean, the fact that here in Canberra, we'll be 100% renewable, I think, by 2020, by next year. And we've done that under budget. We show you can do it and at reasonable scale. However, we are running out of time. The climate system is moving fast, probably faster than we scientists estimated even a decade to go. And there are tipping points. And once we cross those, no matter how hard we work to get emissions done, we will not stop climate change. So I think we're coming to some drop-dead dates fairly soon.
Will Steffen, on that point, thanks for talking to AM.
Thank you.
And that's Professor Will Steffen from the Climate Council of Australia.